Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Called bird strike. Astros sweep the Diamondbacks. Josh Hader remains perfect here in Chase Field. 11 2/3 without a run over his career. And Blummer, the Astros keep rolling some way, somehow. Now the best record in the American League.
You know, that's the thing, the transition and the ease of how we went into things day. Today, it was really cool to see because I'm used to first days being just a debacle where the ball is on the ground, snap count is off, defense, busting assignments. But to have a really clean operation, very pleased with that, you know, because the guys have been away for a while. They haven't done football, so to come out and get the football part right, and that's alignment, assignment, being where you're supposed to be, that's half the battle. And I'm very pleased with our coaches, first and foremost, for having their guys ready to go.
It's a good day yesterday, man. It was a really, really good day yesterday. The Astros win. They complete the sweep against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, yeah, out here at Texans training camp, for a day with just jerseys on, no pads, so nothing like that, it looked crisp, man. The operation looked pretty smooth for a shortened practice yesterday. They just went maybe about 70, 80 minutes yesterday practicing. They'll be back out here today. We're out here today live at Texans training camp as we welcome you in on a Thursday morning. And it is Payne and Pendergast as we welcome back Seth C. Payne, Pope Zaza. What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm good, man. I apologize for it's can you hear me?
I can barely hear you, Ben. You're going to need to turn Seth up a little bit. There we go. There we go. All right. How you doing, buddy?
Hey. Okay. I'm good, man. As you know, I've had a little bit of an ordeal, so I'm stuck in Oregon, and this was a challenge. I applaud you for not freaking out as I screwed 19 things up this morning. My phone died in the middle of the night, and I didn't know how to connect. There's two things. Yeah, there's two things. One, that the Astros are back to what they do, which is sweeping teams despite having a Triple-A lineup. But the biggest thing about the Texans yesterday was the fact that, you know, that sounds simple, what D'Amico had said in the opener, that, hey, usually there's a lot of hiccups and everything. It's so true. On the first day of camp, usually they'll start a period over, or you know, the quarterback, the snap count can't get right. The very first year of the franchise, we actually had to start a practice completely over midway through because David Carr had fumbled like 7 snaps. They just couldn't get it, and that was like a week before the first game. So like the little things and just executing without all the hiccups, it does feel like Nick Caley is really all about just execution. Remember last year, Bobby Slowick would say, well, we got to execute. And he almost said it like it was the players' fault that they weren't executing. I think Caley, look, the X's and O's matter, but Caley just really wants things to be crisp. And that's a stark departure from the way the offensive line especially operated last year.
Yeah, yeah. It was really interesting yesterday, Seth, because there was a lot of questions, obviously, about the offensive line and the operation of the offense. CJ met with the media, so his newfound control over what they do offensively, you know, it's hard when they're just out here. They only did 2 11-on-11 sessions yesterday. Neither of them were terribly long, and especially the first one, way more of an emphasis on the run game. The install period that they did was practically all run game. So that's the type of stuff out of training camp, especially when they're not in pads, that's not the most enthralling kind of thing. When you got them installing run plays where nobody's allowed to really touch each other violently or go to the ground, there you could tell there's a major emphasis on running the football with this team. And a lot of the questions, and we'll play some of the audio here, there was a lot of that whole kind of cryptic reading into the answers as, yes, answers about the current version of the Texans, but also with a sort of acknowledgement that all these things last year were a big, big problem for the team. We're going to play some of the audio in a second. But that was my huge takeaway yesterday is, wow, this is not lip service to running the football. And B, there are some things that they are doing now, some very basic things that this team is doing now that they weren't doing last season.
That's, and the cool thing about that is, okay, they're working on the run game and no pads, and what can you do with that? Because it's not going to be very competitive. That, you know, last year, Sean, you remember when I could tell that the O-line cabal had been trying to feed information to the media, to their favorite journalists and whatnot, that, hey, well, look, don't worry about the run game. It's hard to run the ball during training camp when you can't, you know, you can't cut block and you can't go full bore. And I'm like, okay, other teams can run the ball well in training camp, even though they're not going full speed. Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be any excuse making like that. There's not going to be any. So when you're in no pads, okay, obviously you're not going to have the physical element of it, but it's the footwork, the technique, the being cohesive and everybody having the timing down. That's the stuff that you're working on. And it was just gone from the offense last year.
Yeah. Let's get to just a few takeaways from day one out here at training camp. We'll get to the Astros. If not at the end of this segment, we'll hit them at the top of the next segment here, because that sweep is significant of the Diamondbacks yesterday. They are tied for the best record in the American League right now, miraculously, with an outfield yesterday. It was Cooper Hummel, Taylor Trammell, and I forget who was he, and Chaz McCormick in right field. That was the starting outfield yesterday for the team that took the lead in the American League race. But let's start with some D'Amico Ryans yesterday. The offensive line was the big topic yesterday, especially at the outset of practice. The left to right first unit that they sent out there yesterday, and they mixed and matched a ton after this, so probably not a ton to read into it, was Cam Robinson from left to right. Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, Jarrett Patterson, Titus Howard, and Ariante Ursary was trotting out there with the ones yesterday. Now, again, eventually they started mixing and matching and whatnot, but the very first unit to go out there to do drills had Ariante Ursary, the rookie out of Minnesota, at right tackle. Here was D'Amico Ryans on the offensive line and how they're looking so far and how they're working so far.
For the O-line, you know, Will, it's always tough. It's hard for me to, you continue to evaluate O-line. It's hard when you don't have pads on, because that's how the game is played up front, O-line, D-line. You got to put the pads on to have a true evaluation of how that'll look. But the small things that stuck out to me, and what Cole has done a really good job of, just those small intricate details that you know they'll translate, pads or not, and that's hand placement, your feet being right, like where are your shoulders, where are your eyes, the communication, all of those little things that really allow those guys to bind together as one. I think that's where y'all see the growth in our offensive line, those guys being on the same page, they're being intentional with how they're working an individual. It's very deliberate, and so I see that translates. And that's what I expect from all of our coaches, to be deliberate in how you prepare your guys individual. That's what I've seen throughout the spring with Cole, with Zach, and that will translate. It's shown up here. They've done a great job communicating today, and that'll keep allowing those guys to be the best version of themselves and do a great job of run blocking first and foremost as a unit, and then also protecting CJ.
That was one of several cuts yesterday, Seth, where it was like, okay, that's great that they're doing these things. These sound like very basic things that weren't getting done last year. You know, things
yeah.
like communicating.
yeah. And this is where it's, you know, I always worry about with new offensive coordinators that they want to be complex. You know, they want to do everything. Bobby Slowick, and this isn't just individual to Bobby Slowick. Mike Vrabel did it in his first time as a coordinator, a defense coordinator with the Texans. They want to just do everything all at once, and they want to have the most brilliant looking performance that ever was. So in that first game versus the Ravens 2 years ago, they were trying to do everything. They were trying to throw the whole kitchen sink out there and all this pre-snap motion and everything, and you had a rookie quarterback that just wasn't in a bunch of everybody was new to the system, and they weren't ready for it, so they had to pull it back a little bit. I think Kaylee has, you know, probably just learned by observation over the years that's a hazard, is that you got to really start with the basics and hammer those and then move on from there. So so far so good. Obviously, yeah. It's no pads, and I some of my favorite Casario answers yesterday were just when people would ask him, you know, like, hey, what's your favorite thing about this team, or like, are they going to be really good? And you're like, all right, look, we'll see, you know, like,
yeah.
It's all talk right now, we'll see.
Yeah, and no, every answer where he was asked something like that was just something about they have a great attitude and they like to work hard, you know. It's like, okay,
yeah.
That's good job.
Yeah, there is. That is the thing that Caserio seemed like he gushed the most about was actually the fact that it seems like we've got a lot of guys that actually really genuinely want to work hard, and that probably reminds him of his New England days a little bit.
No doubt. They were hammering the run game yesterday, as I mentioned. That was the biggest things for me. The offensive line talk and just the shuffle there. That it's the total opposite of last. The cabal's got nothing this year, Seth. This is the total opposite of last year, where everybody was in ink and tattooed as to what their position was going to be. They are truly mixing and matching. They hammered the run game. I mentioned that. Bobby Sloak, you tell me, Seth. I'm going to play this audio from D'Amico right here, and he was asked about what he loves about Nick Caley's offense. This was construed by many as perhaps a stray towards Bobby Sloak.
What excites me most about Caley's offense is that it's evolving and it's being tailored toward the Houston Texans and the guys that we have on our roster. So what excites me the most is not just a copy and paste from other places that he's been, and he's been very successful at other places, but he's been very, very thorough with the installation process of where do we want to put our guys, what position, what's the best spot for our guys to be in. So when you look at it through that lens, it's going to be about the Houston Texans, and that's what I love most about the offense is him being able to be adaptable and put our guys where they need to be.
You and I have spent a lot of time dissecting audio from various offensive players on the team that said that thing. To hear D'Amico Ryans himself kind of, I don't say inadvertently, but kind of just by describing Caley's offense, kind of describing what Bobby Slowick's offense was not, was pretty jarring yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that it's almost impossible to say something nice about a new guy without it sounding like an insult of the old
guy. On this show, it sure is. As long as I'm here, it will be. I'll tell you that.
It's like saying, like, hey, what do you like about your new wife? Like, she didn't sleep with my boss. Yeah, that's a pretty clear indicator that that your old wife did something. Whether he intended it that way or not, I think it was pretty clear. And, you know, D'Amico himself had said that they need to be able to adapt better, and make adjustments better. And the second half, so there's one thing, just there's on the macro level, how are you going to build this offense? But then on the micro level, just second half adjustments. And I know people will tell you that they're overrated, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you're making adjustments the entire game long. And the Texans were just so much worse in the second half offensively because Bobby couldn't adapt. So, the adaptability on multiple fronts hopefully is a lot different.
We will make sure the Astros get some love here in the 6 o'clock hour as well, coming up next. Who would have thought that they would have 17 guys on the IL on the day they put their 17th guy on the IL, or the day after they take over the lead in the American League? It's unbelievable. So we'll get to that. And also, Seth mentioned Nick Caserio met with the media yesterday. He was asked about probably the biggest Nick Caserio topic of the last month and a half. The poison pill that he dropped on the rest of the NFL by guaranteeing Jaden Higgins' contract. Nick Caserio addresses that for the first time. The audio, we have that for you. Also talks about one new player on the team that was somewhat controversial, and who is the guy that we think might be the most improved on this team based on Nick Caserio's assessment. We will get to all of that coming up here in the next segment as we're live from Texans training camp day 2 here at the Methodist Training Center.